All right, boys and girls, in the last episode, we talked about property managers and that running a prop or working with a property manager should be like a deep covenant relationship as well as running it like a business. This episode, we're going to talk about self-management, kind of like I told you guys that I'm working on, like I've done in the past and I'm working on again. Here's the thing, self-management. You need to treat this like a business. I've already said it before. You need to treat it like a business, but you're doing all the work, or you're going to have an assistant or somebody that's doing all the work in-house for you. So first things first, what do you need? Well, after you have your rental property bird and ready to go, you're in the middle of your bird and you're ready to rent it. You need an application. What do you need on your application? Simple stuff like name, date of birth, social security number, phone numbers, previous addresses, current and past employer info, emergency contact info, release of information signed with a signature from the applicant that gives you authority to pull credit and to do any kind of research on them, as well as you want to charge them for it. It's an application fee. You know, you will need to set up an application fee. Now, you can put this through HemLane, and they can take care of it for you. I'm a big fan of them. There again, it'll be in the show notes. Or you can work with Zillow or heck, you can go the old school method and just give somebody a paper application and collect a check for $35. It's up to you, but you need an application. And when you get that application back, you need to verify everything. Identity. You can do that with a credit check. Let's just say citycredit.net or something. That's who I used to use back in the day. Now we're using HemLane, like I said, and it covers everything. Verify everything. Identity. Job. Call the current and past employers. Make sure the story sticks and lines up with what the applicant put on the application. Were they a good employee? Are they still working with you now for the current employer? Things like that. You want to make sure the stories are there and they make sense and there's no kind of missing segments in the story and the narrative on that application. All the application is just a narrative of what's going on in their life, and they're probably going to lie a little bit 9 times out of 10. I'm not saying everybody's going to do it, but a lot of people are going to lie on their application. So you need to put all the puzzle pieces together and form that puzzle. You also need to check on their income. Make sure that their income is everything that they say it is on their application. Review their credit, not only their identity, but you want to review their credit. I personally don't care about great credit as long as somebody's trying and they have a story. Maybe some underdog story or something where they're trying to do better. And I'm okay with a 550 credit score. I don't have to have an 850 credit score. If you get an 850 credit score, you're probably buying a home. So you have to think like that. Most renters are going to have bad credit. Not every renter, but most. You want to verify their eviction history. If they had an eviction on their credit report, why? Find out. Was it something where it was a tenant at sufferance? I mean, that's a real estate term, but did the tenant hold over the premises and not move out and not pay, and then the landlord had to kick them out? Well, that's a bad eviction. You might want to make sure you don't rent to those people. Or what if it's not a bad eviction? What do I mean by that? What if the landlord was ready to sell the property? They gave him a 60-day notice, like is law here in Georgia. It could be something different in another state, wherever you're listening from. But they gave them a notice and the tenant had nowhere to go and they just couldn't figure it out. And then the landlord evicted them. I mean, wasn't 100% their fault other than they just couldn't find a place. So I might would work with that story right there. You know, if you want to verify the identity, the job, the income, the credit, the eviction history, things like that, you can go to like websites like mysmartmove.com or myrental.com. Those websites will actually get you through this. Like I said, Zillow, HemLane, just some resources for you. I'm not promoting either one of them. I'm only promoting, HemLane because I love HemLane. Look, let's go through this. What happens if you find like a bankruptcy on a credit report from a few years ago and you're like, oh no. Well, guess what? I had a bankruptcy back in 2008 and 2009 and I was the best tenant in the world when I went to go rent a home for a couple of years. I took care of the property. I always paid on time. I just got handed a shitty circumstance to me and I had to work my way through it. So not everybody with a bankruptcy is a bad person. I was a product of the 2008 recession and fallout with the economic downturn, and a lot of people have been part of that. So look, you know, you got to read through this. You can't just automatically assume that every tenant with any kind of flaw in their application or credit report's going to be a bad tenant. So am I worried about bankruptcy? No. Am I worried about current judgments? Yes, I'm worried about current judgments. Did they have an eviction judgment from a bad eviction? Did they have multiple car payments not being paid, and there's a repo person that just repoed their car and now they got a judgment? Yes. Felonies? Yes. I actually have a story. I rented a property to a guy who flashed us some cash, and it was a little trailer that I had. I couldn't get a renter in there for whatever reason, probably because it was a trailer, and it wasn't the best remodel back in years ago. And he flashed me some cash, gave him a good deal on the property. He moved in. I didn't look into his application. Only did I come find out that after a couple of maintenance issues, I sent some guys over there. This gentleman was flirting with my maintenance guys, and he made them feel awkward. So I went over there to just see what was going on, and I made an excuse. I'm going to come pick up your rent this month. Well, this gentleman closed the door on me and locked it, and he was up to something. And I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. I need to get my money, and I need to get out of here, and I'll see you later. I went and researched this guy, looked on the application, and he did say that he had a felony. So I looked him up, and lo and behold, he was a teacher who had molested little boys up in Virginia, and he moved down to Georgia to clear his name and relocate, but he's already started the same thing over and over again. And I was like, oh no, I broke my cardinal rule of not looking at the freaking information and verifying everything. Oh my gosh. So that was insane. Don't do that. Don't do that. Another thing that I think I talked about this in the last episode, but I want to see 3 times the amount of rent from the rental payment in income. So if it's $1,000 a month, I want to see 3 to 3.5 times, $3,500 a month in income or more. And then I don't want to see more than a 50% debt to income ratio. And I know I already spoke about this in the last episode, but you need to make sure people can afford your property. If they're only making $1,400 a month and you're renting them a property for $1,000 a month, well, guess what? By the time they pay their utilities, they're not going to have anything else. They got to eat. They got to, you know, have gas money. They got to have a car payment. They've got to be able to afford life. And I hate to say it, you're the one renting them a home. And a lot of these people don't have that education behind them or money mindset. So they just getting into something just to get a roof over their head. But you're the one renting them a home when they have no money. It's not their fault. It's your fault. It's not their fault. It's your freaking fault. You didn't do your due diligence. You moved them in without doing your due diligence. Just like I did with a gentleman that had a freaking felony and spent time in prison, a teacher. He was a teacher of all things, molesting boys. Well, guess what? You rented a house to somebody that was broke, and you didn't realize it because you didn't investigate it. This is your fault, not theirs. When I do self-management, or the people that work for me do self-management, we like to call previous landlords. We have a few questions we ask them. How long did they rent for you? Does the story line up? What was their monthly rent? Does the story line up? Did the tenant give proper notice before vacating the home? Does the story line up? Would you rent to this tenant again? Does the story line up? If they have a story here that says that they had a really good move and they're just looking for something better, maybe they didn't. Maybe they had a bad move. Did they take care of your home? Does the story line up? Look, the next thing you need after you do all of the verifications and you decided to make a gut instinct with the tenant, a gut call to approve them or not, guess what? You need a lease. Every state is different, and every state has different rules and laws, but you need a lease. If you don't have access to one, jump on Facebook and some kind of rental group in your area and ask somebody for a lease in your state. If you don't have access to groups like that, which I'm sure you probably do, but if you don't, uslegalforums.com, Connect with some local realtors, nolo.com, or even legalzoom.com. There's some resources for you. All right, everybody, we're going to talk to you about our new sponsor for REI Society. It is PropStream, big data for real estate tailored for you. If you don't know what PropStream is, you need to get it immediately. PropStream provides unmatched access to detailed property records nationwide. They have more data, more features, and investor tools than any other service out there. Trust me, I know. Unlimited searches let you evaluate specific properties or search their database for over 160 million records, both on and off market, that meet your exact investment criteria. You get to target motivated sellers, find cash buyers, accurate comps, especially if you're not a realtor and you need to get accurate comps. And then you have much more with their precise filtering system. This software allows you to work smarter and not harder. PropStream has more data, more features, and investor tools than any other product or service on the market today. You can identify your investment criteria, search, evaluate, and target. That's crucial, guys. PropStream's built-in marketing features make it easy for you to reach your prospects through customized postcards, email campaigns, landing pages, and ringless voicemails. You want to know where you can find properties left and right? You can do it through PropStream. This is where we get our best deals. Go to trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. This is going to get you a 7-day free trial that you get to play around with. And if you text me PropStream on my phone number, I will send you a live webinar that we did way back in the day that can tell you all about how to utilize this the correct way. So text 404-341-2897. Again, 404-341-2897. Text PropStream to this number, and I will send you a link to a video that teaches you how to utilize PropStream. So go ahead and subscribe today, trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. Again, trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. That's going to get you your 7-day free trial. On top of the lease, after you put all the terms together and you go meet the tenant at the property, you want to do a move-in, move-out inspection report. This is a paper that the tenant will sign that documents the condition of the home in the current condition. So what you're going to do is you're going to allow the tenant to walk through the property and inspect it and make notes on the report. And they're going to basically put out any flaws or any blemishes on the property in that report. And you're going to agree or disagree with them. And then you're both going to sign off. This form is to protect not only them upon them moving out, but it's protect you and your interest when they move out. Very, very important to have that move-in, move-out inspection report. All right, so you met somebody, you approved them, you did the lease, you did the move-in, move-out inspection report, and you signed it all. They give you money. Let's talk about accepting rents. Only accept cash or certified funds on the move-in. You don't want to accept a check. You know, if you accept a check, 9 times out of 10, this has happened to me a lot, you'll find out that it was a bad check, and then you'll have to evict them immediately. And heck, in this coronavirus economy, that may or may not get done very quickly. So only accept cash or certified funds on move-in or online payments from beforehand before you give them the keys. No checks. You can accept a check later if you want, but not on the first month's rent and deposit. There are professional renters out there, and I mean it professionally, that they are professional renters, and they are scammers. They will give you a bad check on purpose, take your keys, move in, and understand that they have 2 to 3 months of free rent because they just screwed you over. Oh my gosh, what in the world are you going to do? Don't give in to get a check just because you're hungry and you need to make your mortgage payment. Accept cash or certified funds. All right, so rents going forward from month 2 through 12 and beyond. Online payments. I love online payments. MLane has online payments. I love it. Get you a rental property software for bookkeeping, QuickBooks, Vertical Rent, AppFolio, things like that. I use QuickBooks. It does well. I'm sure there's better things than QuickBooks for rentals, and I'm probably going to look into something different because after all these years, I'm kind of getting bummed out on QuickBooks for the volume I'm doing. Okay, let's talk about training your renters. When the rent is late, you need to serve them a late notice immediately. If you have a 5-day late notice. I mean, if you have a 5-day late time limit, so let's say October 1st, October 5th, you can pay and it's on time without a late payment. October 5th, you need to send them a late notice if you haven't received it by the end of that day, or maybe the 6th. Send it on the 6th. And guess what? They owe you that rent. If you work with them and null and void that rent payment, the late fee, then they're going to realize that they can negotiate and work with you. It trains them the next time that they can just work something out. So they're going to be continuously late. Trust me, I've done this. I've had a crap ton of rentals, and renters will use and abuse you if you aren't tough from day one. And you know what? You're going to have to get some backbone. I mean, I freaking hate it, but it's true. You're going to have to get some backbone. And then when they give you excuses, let's just say on that same example, October 1st, October 5th, they didn't pay you on time, and you send a letter out October 6th, they come in October 10th, they got the letter, it freaks them out. You say something about eviction on there. If they don't pay you by October 15th, they send you a notice on or a message on October 10th saying they can't have it by October 15th, but they'll have it to you by the 17th. Don't accept excuses. Come October 15th, set up a dispossessory on these people. Let the sheriff go to their door on the 16th or 17th and embarrass them. It doesn't mean that you have to go to court and strip the house from them. You're just training them to be the perfect renter. So you may have to embarrass them. We just had a recent tenant move in, paid for first months, did everything right, like I told you guys to do, and gave us, I think he gave us cash actually. So we had the cash and deposited that, and he gave him the keys. Next month, said person didn't pay us on time, wouldn't respond to messages. We sent the late notice out, didn't get a rent payment between the late notice and the eviction date that was indicated in the late notice, and we sent out the dispossessory. Had the sheriff on the door the next day or two, and immediately, within 2 days of that sheriff being out there, we had accepted rents in our Hemlane account, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I'm telling you. And they paid the late fee. They actually gave us, I think they gave us $50 as I'm sorry fee. I'm like, who makes this stuff up? And I'm sorry fee? Yeah. They understand that this house is somewhere they need to shelter their kids. And if you let them have a roof over their heads, but if you let them choose their car payment or their food or anything on top of your payment, then you're setting yourself up for disaster. And I know that sounds harsh. They're going to pick you over their food. Look, food is abundant in America. I'm talking to Americans here. And I know there's some poor and poverty out there. And some people eat better than others, but there's always going to be access to food. There's always going to be access to some kind of government program that can help you out if you don't have food. And they're always going to have access to it. Food and water, shelter. Most people have access to it. So don't let them choose anything over the house. I'll put it to you this way. When I lost everything and I was bankrupt, here's another story. When I lost everything and I was bankrupt, I went to go rent from a friend. I had to choose between the $900 a month in rent that I had to pay back in the day or my SUV payment. And I had already gone bankrupt and I just couldn't make that payment. So guess what? I didn't make that payment on that car because I wanted that roof over my wife and my two daughters' heads, as well as mine and my two dogs. I had two chihuahuas at the time, chihuahuas. But I moved that freaking vehicle inside the garage. And guess what? The tow truck guy comes. The wrecker service comes. They're ready to freaking repo it. The repo man's out there waiting for 2 or 3 hours. And I needed to go to work that day and go make some money doing what I was doing back then. We just couldn't leave the vehicle leave outside the garage. They couldn't legally come inside the garage, but they saw the vehicle in the garage. And if we had backed out, they'd have took it from us. So guess what? We stayed inside watching out the windows and they finally left. And I made sure that every time I got to that house, I would stay in that garage. Eventually I got called up and I paid that car payment, but I always paid that rent payment. Your freaking tenants need to learn that the roof and shelter over their head is the single most important thing. And then as long as you have a roof over your head, everything else will come. And honestly, and I'm going to say it again, because some people are probably judging me, food is not as important as shelter. People can go several days without food, and I'm not promoting that. I'm not telling you to fast, but you know what? Somebody in their community will give them food, a food bank, a shelter. They can knock on somebody's door, get $10, go get some, you know, Big Mac and fries, something. You can always have access to food. You won't always have access to freaking shelter or good quality shelter if you screw up and have an eviction on your credit report. So you need to train these guys. Train them. You are doing them a favor. All right. So I'm going off on crazy tangents. Look, don't accept excuses. Like I said, when the rent is late, serve them a late notice. Don't accept excuses. I had a grown man who was married, had two kids, and he chose Christmas presents over paying me. And I told him, no. I said, look, I had had enough of his baloney for almost 2 years at that point. And I said, I've taken excuse after excuse after excuse from you, and you're never good with your word. So if you don't pay me before Christmas when that eviction says we're going to court, then I'm not going to hesitate to put your ass out on the street before Christmas. And I assume that everybody listening to this podcast is interested in buying real estate or has some kind of, or already has real estate. And I sound like a hard ass. You have to be. Otherwise, freaking people will run all over you in this industry. And you'll lose everything. You'll lose everything because you're the nice guy. And I'm not telling you to go beat up on people and prey on people and screw them. Be the best freaking landlord ever. On my rentals now, as soon as a maintenance call comes in, I freaking fix that shit. As soon as something is needed, I serve them. I am a better landlord because I serve them. And they know that Brandon is going to fix something. And he's going to take care of me. And then they'll come to me and pay me on time. Look, don't do payment plans. Don't do payment plans. It shows you're soft and it trains them the next time that they can work something out. And always evict if you need to. If you have to go to court, never, never negotiate with them. If somebody makes you take 4, 5, 6, 8 hours out of your day to go to freaking court, the judge is going to sit with you and them and hear both sides of the story. And then they're going to say, hey, do you guys want to go off to the side and negotiate? You're going to say no. If you negotiate, they're going to do this over and over and over again. Trust me, I've gone through 100 freaking rentals over the years. Actually, 120, because I had the 20 originals. 120 rentals, and I made every mistake in the books. If you negotiate with them, you're going to have a recurring offense month in, month out, and it's going to be your bad day. So if they can't pay you, just freaking get the writ of possession and set it up with the sheriff to sit out while you have a moving company to move their shit out. Now, what I will do at the court date, I will say to the tenants at that point, back when I used to handle this, I would say, look, I can't accept partial payment. If you can't pay me right now, then you got to go. And a lot of them will go. A lot of them, actually, it's funny when you put somebody point blank like that, it's amazing how quick the cash will come out right there on the spot. But let's just say they don't. You are going to have to tell them that you're sending a sheriff and a moving guy out to move all their stuff out on the street, which you can do legally from that writ of possession because they haven't paid you for months. So what you're going to do is you're going to tell them, look, let's just say the court date's on a Wednesday. I would tell them, hey, the moving you can legally do it as soon as you get that writ that day. You can do it the next day on Thursday, but you're setting yourself up for disaster. I would say if it's like a Wednesday, give them until Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and tell them, or Sunday evening, period. Tell them Monday morning, the following Monday morning, you're going to go ahead and have the sheriff and the moving guys there, and as well as the locksmith, to rekey all the house, move all their stuff out on the street legally. You got until Sunday to get your stuff out. That helps you out tremendously. 9 times out of 10, these people care for their personal property. They're going to move all their crap out. You might have a little bit of a dirty house, but all your stuff is going to be out, and you're going to have your property without any problems on Monday. Now, let's just say you get there on Monday, and they still haven't moved. Boot their crap out on the street. Put their junk out on the street, and it is what it is. You gave them every benefit of the doubt to help them, and they didn't. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. So don't feel bad. Now, here's the thing. If you feel like you've went against all these ways to do this correctly, like I told you how to do it, and you're getting used and abused and you're freaking fed up, first of all, don't get that far. But if you do, or you're listening to this and you're one of those pushover landlords, and I mean that nicely, you're one of those pushover landlords and you're just now hearing this kind of mentality for the first time, you're like, gosh, man, I'm getting beat up. I'm getting destroyed daily. What do I do? Well, guess what? You're going to go to your tenants and offer cash for keys. Hey, you're consistently late. You're never going to be able to get caught up. I'm filing eviction. I really appreciate you. You're a good person, but I can't do this anymore. It's hurting me and my credit and my mortgage payment timing. Here is $1,500 to move out. Not only will I give you your deposit back, I'll give you $1,000 or $1,500 for you to move out cash for keys, and we'll cut our losses. And I've done that in the past. After I finally got the mentality to be tough, I finally did that. And I moved all my bad tenants out, and they're like, oh man, thank you. You're a stand-up guy. I'm thinking like, fuck you inside my head, but you know, it is what it is. I moved their asses out. Then I started with mental toughness and moved forward. So here's the thing. That's self-management. That's everything a property manager does. You want to make sure your property manager, like in the last episode, does everything adhering to that kind of style. If they're a pushover property manager, don't work with them. If they're a tough property manager and they're just using abuse people, don't work with them. If there's somebody that serves people that really wants to cater to them, to help them out, give them every benefit of the doubt, but train them correctly from day one and sets the expectations, and that's most important, that's the person you want to work with. Or if you're just going to do this yourself because you want to try it out yourself, set the expectations from with your renter from day one. I literally have the lady that works for me that manages the property and bring in the tenants, have a conversation with the tenants as they're moving in with their keys. And we set expectations. Here's the dates. If you don't adhere to them, you're late, you owe fees, you'll be evicted on this date. And if we go to court, we're booting your ass out on the street. And that's it. That's it. So there you go. You're welcome. I just dropped the mic. I feel like this is probably one of the best episodes I've ever done. I want you to share this episode in a screenshot on Instagram, tag me in it, and tell everybody to listen to this episode. I really, really enjoy real estate, and I really, really enjoy helping people like you. And this is my calling. It's to inspire, educate, and give people hope. So there's hope that you can do this and you can become wealthy in long-term rental investing. And if you need a place to start, go to reisocietyedu.com, click on long-term rental investing, and I have a training program just for you. All right, see you in the next episode.